Do you remember the picture of my son? It won a Pulitzer Prize. The picture of him lying dead on the sidewalk at Columbine High School. His name is Daniel. My name is Brian Rohrbaugh. Did you know that the roots of the Columbine murders started back in 1967 when our Colorado lawmakers passed a law that allowed a baby to be put to death because her father was a criminal? In one evil law, they changed our country from a culture of life to a culture of death. Since that day, 50 million babies in this country have been killed through abortion. Will you stand with me? Will you stand in the place of just one of these victims? Join me as Colorado Right to Life presents the annual March for Life at the State Capitol, Saturday, January 21st at 1:30 p.m. I will share with you a story that few know. Join me, because abortion is always wrong.
Warning is to the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with the wind.
Greetings to the brightest audience in Colorado. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Tomorrow is the March for Life that Brian Rohrbaugh, Columbine dad, just mentioned in that commercial. And are you going? If you live in another state and you listen to the show via the internet at KGOV.com, we have live streaming and all, so you might be. Well, there's very likely a March for Life somewhere within driving distance of your home. If you live in Colorado, I want to urge you. Of course, many of the people who attend Denver Bible Church will be there, but we don't want to be the number one best represented church at the March for Life. We would like a handful of churches to beat us in the percentage of members participating in the march. So do your best to go out as a representative of your church. And let me tell you, you know, Dee and Jennifer are going. Dee and Jennifer are going. And if you live in Colorado, you need to go. Now, they're from Massachusetts, from back east. They flew to Denver to spend a few days here fellowshipping with us at Denver Bible Church. And they're a couple thousand miles from home and on a mini vacation, and they're going to be at the March for Life. And so you need to, if at all possible, 1:30 tomorrow afternoon at the state capitol. You can't miss it. Just go downtown Denver, look for the Gold Dome, and you'll see 1,000 people or so there. And you should be numbered among them, because we have to stand against the killing of unborn children. And Colorado Right to Life, they put out a press release regarding Brian Rohrbaugh's commercial and his appearance yesterday on the radio on KHOW, KHOW. And if you missed it, you could listen to his discussion with Dan Kaplis and Craig Silverman, the two hosts of the show. And it was dramatic. And the callers, you just got to hear Brian Rohrbaugh defend the position that we have to stop the killing of all innocent children, including those in the womb, and that when we legalize the killing of children in the womb, of course, we end up with a culture of death that directly leads to crimes like Columbine, where his son Danny was murdered in the massacre. So our phone number, 800-8-ENYART, that's 1-800-836-9278. I plan on reading again and getting a little more of the text in the letter we received from Focus on the Family regarding James Dobson abandoning his pledge to never again vote for any politician who would kill a single innocent child. He's now officially, tragically, we have it on letterhead from Focus on the Family. And I have a copy of this letter that was sent to one of our elders at Denver Bible Church, James Craddock. And James is going to get us the original, and we'll scan that. I have a fax of it, so it's a bit blurry. But we'll scan the original and put it on KGOV, our website, KGOV.com. And I want to talk about the interview we had with Peter Samuelson, the president of Americans United for Life, for defending the decision that Samuel Alito ruled from the federal bench to keep legal partial birth abortion. And I tried to get him to admit that that was an immoral decision. And in fact, the president of the nation's oldest national pro-life organization, AUL, Peter Samuelson, said it was a moral decision, moral. It was a right decision, just as Gary Bauer has claimed, because Alito was following the process, and process trumps thou shalt not murder. Process trumps right and wrong. Process defines right and wrong, according to a humanist mindset, and that's where the body of Christ, our national leadership, has gone. That's where they're at right now. Let's go to the phones, 800-836-9278. That's 800-8-NYART. Michelle from Loveland, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing today?
This is Michelle Ross.
Yes, hi.
Michelle, hello. To let the audience know, you're an associate producer to Bob and Yart Live. Thanks for calling in, Michelle. What's up?
I just wanted to let you know I'm working on the transcription of the interview with Peter Samuelson. It's three-fourths of the way done.
Fabulous.
There's lots of dialogue to cover, so it's taken me longer than I would like, but
yeah,
almost
well,
done.
It's, you know, when you complete that, we will post it to KGov. And what I'd like to do is highlight in bold, or maybe even pull out a couple excerpts of the key portions of that that discussion. You've probably looked at it more closely than anyone else so far because you're transcribing it.
Yes.
What is your take on the discussion with Peter Samuelson?
It was, like you said, it was extremely devastating that a pro-life national leader could hold the view that he holds. He seems to elevate Judge Alito and the Republican Party above the standard of morality that God gives us in the Bible. And I'd like to kind of discuss with you the point that he made that the stand that you take, which is don't compromise on thou shalt not murder.
Right.
He said that that was a feel-good path.
Yeah, that, you know, when he said that, strong rebuttals went through my mind, but I resisted because it was more important to talk about the substance of the issue than him judging my motives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was judging his actions and his belief system,
right,
which is you could make thou shalt not murder, make that subservient to your political and legal process, which is despicable. But then he attacked my motives. He said, we do this because it feels good, as though it feels good. As the pastor of Denver Bible Church, it doesn't feel good to criticize Dr. Dobson. It doesn't feel good to point out how the national pro-life Christian leadership has compromised on thou shalt not murder. In fact, it isolates us, and it puts us further on the fringe, and it's discouraging. In fact, I was sick to my stomach as a result of the interview with Peter Samuelson and reading this letter from Focus on the Family that James Dobson has abandoned his pledge that he said he would never again vote for any politician willing to kill a single innocent child.
Yes, I just wanted to quote one thing here. He says, while I just hear your discouragement, Bob, but my discouragement runs the opposite way, which is the path you are leading down logically is a path that feels really good because you get to protest intensely and loudly against someone like Judge Alito and against the path of engagement that he is taking. And it feels good to protest it, and it feels good to call him to a standard that would lead him to act in a different way.
Yeah, now what
the
is that?
The difficulty is, though, is that that path leads only to failure. So the path that God gave us, that thou shalt not murder, leads only to failure?
Yeah, so thou shalt not murder.
Yeah.
It's unreasonable for me to try to hold a judge to thou shalt not murder. That's unreasonable. In fact, a far greater goal, and one that'll be way more effective, is to convince every last Christian to compromise on thou shalt not murder so that we could approve of judges and governing officials who will compromise on thou shalt not murder. And when every last Christian in America is willing to compromise on thou shalt not murder, then we'll have our victory.
Yeah, and how is that a victory?
Yeah, and you know what? If I'm asked, Bob, what do you put more credence in? In God through Moses saying, thou shall not murder, and Jesus in the Gospels repeating, thou shall not murder, and the Apostle Paul repeating, thou shall not murder, do you put more credence in that, and do you have more of a commitment to that, or to the Republican conservative political strategy, or judicial philosophy? Which do you have a greater commitment to? I say, to God's command, thou shall not murder.
It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I mean, I would have such fear if that was my belief. How is he going to stand before the Lord and face him with all those little babies that were aborted standing there looking at him, and that's what his argument's going to be?
Yeah, and he'll say, I thought it was more politically astute to compromise on thou shalt not murder and to approve of decisions to keep legal partial birth abortion, because I thought it was the politically correct thing to do under these circumstances. And you know what? All you have to do is substitute unborn babies with Jews killed by the Germans to see how evil the position of our Christian leadership has become. How evil. Because those who were going to regulate the killing of Jews and saying, well, you can't gas them, but you could shoot them, or you can't put them in a crematorium because you violate the EPA standards for clean air.
Hypocrites.
Yeah, these strategies, these tactics, it's fine to have political tactics. That's fine. But not when they compromise on thou shalt not murder. Thank you, Michelle.
All right, Bob.
God bless you. I so appreciate that. And here we have Samuelson telling me that my position feels good, when in reality, we see the Republican Christian pro-lifers, they are so involved in the political process. It's watching a hearing, a committee hearing of the Senate, is like watching an NFL playoff game. And you want to talk about a confusion of mixed motives, of siding with your team and willing to risk anything to support your team, even to risk an absolute commitment to thou shalt not murder. Yeah, but our team has to win. And so what if we approve some decisions where judges say you can murder the innocent? In fact, Peter Samuelson, one of the leading pro-life lawyers in America, said on this show, you could hear it at kgov.com, he said, I asked him, when a judge or a governing official legitimizes or legalizes or upholds the right to murder or steal or commit adultery or kidnap, isn't that judge then responsible, and doesn't he share in the guilt when people kidnap or murder or steal? And Peter Samuelson said no. How could it be that a governing official could legitimize or use his authority to keep legal some despicable behavior, and then when a citizen uses that authority, the judge is not guilty? That is naive, it's immoral, it's wrong. Let's go to Coldwater, Kansas. Dave, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Great, Dave.
Yeah, you know, Peter Samuelson, he says, you're the one with the feel-good tactics. I mean, it's completely absurd. I've got friends where I live here, you know, that have the same attitude as him. And they say, well, why can't you, you know, you need to support somebody who's electable. Electable in this system, you know, is electable in a democracy, in two coyotes and a bunny voting on dinner, right? And not only that, the coyotes have all the media. You have to compromise to even be electable in this system.
Hey, Dave.
Uh-huh.
So to slow that down a little, two coyotes and a rabbit voting for what to have for dinner.
Exactly.
And, you know, in Germany, Peter Samuelson's defense of Alito was basically, in a democracy, it's right to follow the process, so that a democracy supersedes God's revealing thou shalt not murder. And, you know, Germany, when they elected Adolf Hitler, they did so. Germany had not always been a democracy, obviously, in history, but the Weimar Republic, their constitution made them a democracy. And so Hitler ran by the Democratic Weimar Republic. That's how he ran. And there were some areas in Germany where if you look at, and he got about the same percentage of the vote that Bill Clinton got. He didn't get an absolute majority. He got a plurality. And there were some areas in Germany where if you looked at the vote for the Nazis and the Marxists, between those two, they got an absolute majority. So if these Christians were counseling believers in Germany, they'd say, look, you got to vote for either the Marxist or the Nazi because they're the only viable candidates. And the problem with that is it's not based on a moral foundation of right and wrong. And when you compromise on do not murder, there's no logical place to stop compromising.
That's my friends. They tell me, you know, how can you support somebody who's not electable? And I say, well, how can you support somebody who is electable in the system?
Wow.
And it's frustrating.
Yeah, Dave, this is another reason why democracy is so dangerous.
I agree. Because
human beings are not wise enough to handle in their voting finger to handle the matters of right and wrong.
Well, the same people who are voting right now are the ones that are making Brokeback Mountain the number one movie in the theaters.
Right.
And what's the difference?
Right. Good point. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. I appreciate that. It's just devastating what's happening. And so what is the strategy? The strategy is we Christians, we thought that we could discuss finer points of right and wrong in God's revelation to man. Christians debate things like end times prophecy. Then they don't even understand thou shalt not murder. They don't even get that. How are you going to be an expert on baptism when you don't get thou shalt not murder? And all the other doctrines that Christians debate and separate over, when the basics, the book of Hebrews, the author laments that people can't handle the meat. And he doesn't want to go back over the milk again. He wants to get to the meat. And today, come forward 2,000 years, we can't handle the milk. The body of Christ is lactose intolerant. We can't even handle the milk. We don't know thou shalt not murder. We don't understand that that's not a command that God has given us leeway to supersede or to set aside or to give precedence to process or to some agreement made by men. You know, the Constitution does not trump God. And it doesn't trump thou shalt not murder. And it's being used by our national Christian leaders to trump thou shalt not murder. Let's go to Greeley, Colorado. Dave, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Yeah, Bob. Yeah, this is Dave in Greeley. And I asked you yesterday a question. And that was, when does the label for James Dobson change from pro-life to pro-choice?
Now, wait a minute. We had a caller, Dave, from Greeley yesterday. This is a different Dave.
This is a different Dave,
You called in, Dave, you called in.
You
called in after the show.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. All right, so, Dave, when do we stop calling our Christian leaders pro-life and call them pro-choice?
Exactly.
Well, when Dr. Dobson says that through this letter we received from Focus on the Family on their letterhead, signed by Ross Marshall for Focus on the Family, representing on behalf of our staff, when Dr. Dobson has now abandoned his pledge to never again cast a vote for any politician who would kill an innocent child, and he now says he will support politicians who support abortion, according to this letter, for political reasons, because of really important issues that are being fought today, what that tells me is that he's personally pro-life, but publicly, but his political strategy embraces some pro-choice laws, some pro-choice decisions, some pro-choice judges, and some pro-choice politicians and governing officials. So, you know, when John Kerry says, I'm personally pro-life, we say, you know what? We don't really care what you are personally. We want to know what your public policy is. And so now our Christian leaders, including James Dobson, including Gary Bauer, including AUL, Americans United for Life, they're personally pro-life. You know, we believe that they tell us, but they are policy-wise, they are pro-choice when it's convenient. When they think it's beneficial, they will support, well, Samuel Alito, who's given us 15 years of pro-abortion ruling after ruling after ruling, and they even defend the ruling, as we've heard now from Gary Bauer and Peter Samuelson. Even right. The ruling to keep legal partial birth abortion, they say that was – he ruled as he should do, said Gary Bauer. And Americans United for Life president said that was a moral ruling because he was following the process. And so right. Good point. Good question, Dave.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I would say we have to start identifying them as personally pro-choice but policy-wise embracing various pro-choice – people and rulings and laws.
Right. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You bet, Bob.
Appreciate that. 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. And we've been saying this for years at Bob and Yart Live, and we've been trying to get the evidence to show people who would rather not hear it or rather not know. And so as the battle continues and conservative Christians are becoming more and more committed to Republican Party politics than to God's word, to the gospel, to Peter's statement, we must obey God rather than men. And his life was at stake. The Apostle Peter, his life was at stake. And he said, we must obey God rather than men. And now we have people sitting in their beautiful offices doing interviews, and their life is not at stake, but it's the lives of children who are at stake. And they say, you know what? We must obey the Constitution rather than God, because our legal process trumps God's revelation of thou shalt not murder. Why? Because we're a democracy. Because the voice of the people is the voice of God. Don't you know that? Vox populi, vox Dei. The voice of the people is the voice of God. Therefore, Samuel Alito is doing the right thing when he upholds partial birth abortion, because he's true to the process. And loyalty to God has been replaced with loyalty to Republican Party politics. And it's devastating, and it's getting worse. So while we've been pointing this out on the air for 15 years, what's happening now is that it's becoming more and more obvious, and our Christian leaders are becoming emboldened because they're all in on the same policy. They're all in on it. They are all legal positivist, all. And we have it from their own mouths. And we, Denver Bible Church, we've gone to Christian ministries. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. With some of our elders, we've gone and we've talked to them directly. Now, let's go to the phones in, where is this, Colorado?
Ray.
Ray?
Ray.
And who am I talking to?
Les. L-E-S, Les.
I haven't heard of that name. Hi, Les.
Yeah. Is this,
This
Bob?
Is Bob Enyart. What's up?
Oh, hey, I wanted to ask you something. With all these things, like the Samuelson calling things moral that I don't think are moral, the Children's Hospital letting consenting to the death of that one kid. And
Dylan Walborn, right.
Dylan Walborn.
DylanWalborn.com.
And all these things that are going on, like the thing in Vermont where they're raping, I mean, this girl gets raped and the sentencing is almost little to none.
Yeah, 60-day jail sentence for years of raping a 6-year-old girl to 10 years old. And, and another rapist who got no jail time at all.
There you go, in Michigan, I believe. And the thing I would like for you to explain to the audience, as well as me, is Jesus said the little foxes love the vine. And also in Ephesians and I think Philippians, it says a little leaven leavens a whole lump.
Right.
And how does that pertain? I think I know, but I'd like to hear your spin on it. And well, from everybody else.
Well, you just quoted Galatians 5:9 as from elsewhere.
Fine.
Yeah, and Lev, a little bit of sin leavens the whole lump. If you have a church, a local church, and they allow members to live together without being married, then that fornication, that sexual immorality begins to destroy, it destroys the other marriages that are in the church.
Right.
And the elder board and the pastor, because a little bit of sin destroys all those who accept it. And when Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, because you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Well, he'd rather wicked people like Hillary Clinton say, say we support killing unborn children, than Christian leaders say, we're against it, but we defend Alito, who ruled that you can kill children with partial birth abortion.
Yeah, that's leaven, isn't it?
Yeah, that's sin. That's embracing sin, as Paul was outraged in Romans that anyone would say, you could do evil, that good might come of it. You can't do evil, that good might come of it. And so I'd rather you be hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, Jesus said, I will spit you out of my mouth. And I'm not talking about people who trust in him who are going to hell. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God's disgust when Christians called by his name will affirm judges or decisions or laws that say, and therefore you can kill the baby.
Right.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Thank you. Thank you, Lef.
Thank you, there, Bob.
Appreciate that. Let's go to Maybank, Texas. Madeline, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you, Madeline. Now, have you been listening to the show?
Not today, I haven't.
Okay, because we're in a raging conversation about our Christian leaders who have become legal positivists and said we must obey the process rather than God. But it says here you called in about our Greece tour.
Well, I did, but I wanted to preface it by saying that Tom and I listened again this morning to your interview with Samuelson, and it is so discouraging, Bob. And so we talked about it and said that, you know, the most important thing is to remember that the Lord will prevail.
Right.
Above all else, he will prevail.
Yeah.
And it's really important for us as Christians to fellowship together and really get strong in the Word. And what better way to do that, Bob, than by going on a trip with like Christians and having the Bible. Not only are the words living words to us through the Lord, but having all the history that goes with the Bible.
Well, Madeline, so we're going to Greece in May.
We are going to Greece.
We're leaving May 18th. There'll be about 20 of us.
Right.
And so you and your husband are coming. And
we are.
Alan Connie Sharon, Mike Tiemann.
Art and Alice Risley.
Art and Alice Risley and so many others. And we're so excited. And so one of my young friends, Josh, is coming along. So.
Oh, we can't wait to meet Josh.
Oh,
Josh,
yeah. He's been
so
on this show. He's hosted the show with Stephen, two young teenagers from Denver Bible Church. So we're going to have a two-week fabulous trip in Greece.
We are.
We're going to take a cruise in the Aegean Sea, go to where John was exiled in Patmos. We're going to land in Turkey and go to Ephesus and then see all the key biblical and historical sites in Greece. It's going to be a fabulous trip.
It is going to be a fabulous trip.
Yeah, so
Bob,
if anybody could come, please come. Call us. We're out of time. Thank you, Madeline.
Good to talk to you, Bob.
God bless you. Call us at 800-8-NYART. And the best Christian school I've ever seen is Maranatha, 72nd and Oak in Arvada. Check out Maranatha Christian Center. And tomorrow, the March for Life, downtown at the Capitol at 1:30. I'll be looking for you.